What's up, everybody? Tune in to today's episode with Brian Lubin to hear about passionate income, his CVC framework, and how he created a million-dollar business with less than a million downloads on his podcast, and how you can do the same. Welcome to the Military Millionaire Podcast, where we teach service members, veterans, and their families how to build wealth through personal finance, entrepreneurship, and real estate investing. I'm your host, David Perret, and together with my co-host, Alex Felice, we're here to be your no BS guides along the most important mission you'll ever embark on, your finances.
Vehicle 1, you're clear to depart friendly lines.
Roger, Vic 1, Oscar Mike. Yo, Brian Lubin is our guest today, and this man is incredible. He's a great friend of mine. He's got a podcast, the Action Academy Podcast, an incredibly engaged community. He runs international retreats that I've been on, and they've been a blast. He's a friend. We've hung out in three different countries now and been in abundance together for a long time, and he interviews a lot of high-level millionaires, including some billionaires, and, on his show, and just a really solid guy that I've gotten to know pretty well over the last couple of years. And you should listen to this episode, because Brian's an incredible dude doing some incredible things, and you're going to get some stuff out of this that'll change your life. So enjoy. What's up, Brian? Welcome back, actually, to the Military Millionaire Podcast. Look at me messing up my own podcast name just for you. How you doing, man?
Doing awesome. How are y'all?
Man, I'm good. You know, I didn't tell you this when we decided to, so for those listening, we decided to switch the recording date because I got a pretty sick invite to a Chamber of Commerce meeting with a bunch of really well-off people in my town. So I was like, hey, Brian, do you mind switching the date? And he's like, yeah. So we switched to Thursday. So today is my birthday, and I'm at a real estate conference, and fuck it all, I'm hanging out in my hotel room talking to Brian. So,
yeah. Dude, happy birthday, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Priorities. I'd rather hang out with you anyway. Although this does mean I'm standing up Diego right now. So, I mean, on the friend level.
Diego, come away. He's had enough of you.
we did definitely hung out last night. We're going salsaing tonight. It's gonna be white boy's gonna learn, I guess. So anyway, so for anyone who doesn't know, give us just like the short synopsis of who is Brian Lubin today.
Yeah, so today I am traveling kind of full time around the world. Half the time I'm in Austin, Texas, half the time I'm in Colombia, which I visited Colombia. You were there while I was there. We hung out a little bit up down there, yeah. And you guys were getting after it. So half the time I'm in Colombia, Latin America, traveling to Europe. Half the time I'm in Austin. I run an online education company, and I invest in real estate. So our company is we help six-figure employees become seven-figure entrepreneurs. So there's a whole lot of education, a whole lot of ass-kicking that needs to be done. Hand-holding, we call ourselves the best communal combination of ass-kicking and hand-holding to get people to do what they need to do to make it to the other side of entrepreneurship. And so that is what we do full-time. I built that business while traveling full-time around the world. We're up to about 1.2, 1.3 million in recurring revenue. So we officially went from like zero to building a seven-figure business while traveling full-time. Now we're on the process of building our second seven-figure business, our events company. So that's at 400,000, and now we're getting that up. And then at the end of this year, once we get up to about the 3 to 5 million revenue mark, is when I'm going to delegate everything to a degree and be able to start focus on the asset allocations again, and then go back into heavy investing into real estate, which we're targeting boutique hotels and international luxury properties in Latin America. So that is where I'm at today. I'm a retired corporate employee. So I did the whole thing. I went from employee to entrepreneur.
Yeah. And you crushed it as an employee. It's not like Brian was this schmuck who was like, you know, living office space life, hating everything. He was, you know, top tier sales guy in a company making a crap load of money, threw it all out the window to achieve a much more enjoyable version of that life. It's been really cool to watch the ride, man. I mean, you and I've been friends for a while. I was one of the first people in your Facebook group for the Action Academy, yeah. And it has exploded, and the culture you've gotten there is wild, and the events are awesome. I mean, everything you're doing over there is just fun to watch. So,
dude, I wish you could have made it to Cabo, man.
Cabo, yeah, man.
Costa Rica.
I should have gone to Cabo. You know, it's funny. So I had already paid for the Vermont like winter event. And then they were like, oh, we'll give you like half the money back as a credit. I was like, ah, okay, you know what? I'll stick with the Vermont event. And then I don't think I even told you. I drove to Kansas City the night before because I was going to fly out that morning. And something just didn't feel right. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. Canceled the hotel, canceled the flight, drove home. I didn't do anything that week. Now, I'm actually curious. You travel a ton. Do you get burnt out on it, or is it easier for you because you're working while you're traveling? Because you do a better job. When I travel, I find it hard to actually work. I end up having fun, and then I don't get work done, and then I come home, and I'm like, damn, I need to stop traveling and get in a routine. But it seems like your routine works just fine while traveling. So I don't know. I'm something I'm trying to navigate right now.
Well, yeah, for me, like work and travel is kind of the same. I'm used to that. So the short answer to your question is yes, I do get burnt out while traveling. I go through different seasons where they're like sprint, like navigation and acceleration are the two seasons that I call it. So navigation is the season where you're resting, you're celebrating, you're having that season of, okay, I just accomplished a really hard thing. Now what's next? And so that those seasons are slower. And then that's what I'm going to do this next July. I'm taking my month. I plan my seasons in advance. So I earn the season. So what I do is right now I'm trying to accomplish. I've got this laundry list of hard things that I'm trying to do so that by July I earn the right to go to Europe for a month and celebrate. So I'm going to do the Running with the Bulls. If you're going to come with me on that one and stay over in Spain, probably Morocco, Ibiza, we'll do Italy. And I'm going to be bouncing around for all of July. That's what I did last year. And I'm going to earn it. What I did last year to earn it was I wrote my book, From Passive to Passionate, How to Quit Your Job, Grow Your Wealth, Turn Your Passions into Profits. And I did that. It was very difficult. I spent 1,137 hours on it. So I do really, really difficult things. And then I celebrate really, really big. So I plan my seasons in advance. So that's what keeps everything fun is the variety and going back and forth. It's a necessity. If you're just traveling full time and you don't have that variety, you become hedonically adapted to it. So that first month, I quit my corporate job in March 17th, 2022. So we're coming up on 2 years here in 3 days. And when I did that, I went to travel full time for 8 months. And during that period, I was actually truly passive income. So I was making my money and I genuinely was not working. And I almost just lost my freaking brain because I wasn't doing anything. I lived in Greece for a month. I lived in, you know, Spain for a month. I lived in Europe for three. I lived in Brazil for a couple months. And I was just like, dude, what am I doing? And then that's what led to the creation of the businesses. But to wrap things up here, what I recommend, I follow a framework for my schedule. So my schedule is in the mornings are creative and operations work. And in the afternoon are my calls. So always. So even when I'm in Austin, I have my calendar set like that. And then when I'm in Europe, I just set my calendar the same way, where the mornings are free and the afternoons are ops. I just change the time frame that's open to the morning for US so that it's still the same on my calendar. And then what I do is I just usually spend the mornings exploring more when I'm traveling. And then I'll also have 2 or 3 days of that work week that I block off completely just for exploring. But to answer your question, yes, you do get burnt out. I just have more of a system around it.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to develop. I think my plan this year is kind of similar to what you're doing. It sounds like I'm not going to do anything April, May, June, as far as travel, so that I'm in a routine. I'm home. I'm grinding. I'm whatever you want to call it. And then July, when I'm gone, it's going to be for like a month and a half, and I can actually enjoy it. I'll still be working, but like I feel like it's been, you know, like a week here, a week there, a week there, a week home, a week here, and I'm like, dude, it's too much back and forth. I need to like longer. I think I just need like longer blocks of time to.
Yeah, or even if you're traveling somewhere, stay there a little bit longer. It's just more difficult. I did that in Colombia for December. I spent the entire month in Colombia in December for the most part, and that was a blast. And I was able to have a routine there.
Colombia is a fun place, man. They're just everybody's so alive there. I think I don't know if it's the culture partially, but like the weather is perfect year round. I mean, it's just a fun vibe, man. Yeah. All right,
it's eternal spring.
I know, right? It's great. 70 degrees year round. It's like Hawaii with way less humidity. And it, for some reason, it feels easier to travel to Colombia than flying to Maui. But speaking of, has your episode dropped yet?
Monday.
Monday. There we go.
Yeah, and that's actually a cool point because I just did some pretty luxurious travel and now I'm sick of it. And some people may be listening to this that are working or active duty and they're like, all right, fuck you, guy. But I'm telling y'all, like, this is what you want to do. And I'm telling you what will happen for you. So especially if you're active duty, like, you guys are used to routine and structure in accomplishing a mission, like saying, okay, here's what we want to get done as a unit. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And then when you get it done, you're like, hell yeah, we did it, boys. Like, let's go. And when you don't do that as much, then you start to lose your identity a bit. So December, I launched my book December 1st. And then I took some time to celebrate and enjoy, like, celebrate the win and go into a period of navigation. And then December actually took off for the business. That went really, really well. January, I went down to Hawaii to visit Brandon Turner and record on his podcast. That's the episode that Dave's talking about that you were on. And then after that, we went to Cabo and we hosted our event. So I was gone for like 2 months, like pure luxury. And I just felt like a freaking marshmallow. I was like, all right, dude, I need to bleed and sweat and freaking get in the grime and the dirt. And like, let's get back to it so that you can earn that feeling. It's like if you're in the sunshine every single day, you don't appreciate it as much. Like, you need a little bit of rain and you're like, all right, cool. I miss the sun. So that's what I want.
That's exactly it, man.
That's what I intentionally put into my life.
Yeah, there's no happiness or joy without the opposite. You wouldn't know what to do with yourself. If everything was great all the time, you'd be miserable, which is actually really funny. And you say that, but you're right. It's real world problems, dude. People don't, especially coming out of the military, like, you lose your identity. You lose your sense of purpose, your mission, your routine, your buddies, like, all that stuff. It's a really rough transition for a lot of people, but then it's the same as like leaving a corporate job or whatever. Like, you get to this point where if you've achieved financial freedom, everybody I know who has financial freedom deals with this. It's like, now what? Like, what do I, like, some people struggle to spend the money. Some people, like, they go hard in the paint. They travel for, you know, 6 months. And then they're like, almost everybody I know who's achieved a level of freedom gets to the place where it's like, I have to find something to do. Like, we need that sense of purpose.
Yeah. I call it passionate income. So that's something that I came up with. And that's like my thing. I'm like, yes, I finally found a creative, unique idea. And that's where the book came from, is everybody has these ideas, but the ancient Greeks actually had this wonderful quote where, they had a bunch of wonderful quotes. And then this guy recently said, every good idea that's ever been thought of was already thought of by the ancient Greeks, you know? So I was just like, oh, that makes sense, because it's difficult, especially in the business book and the finance space, to come up with something that's creative. You know, even Pace Morby was sub too. Like, that was happening before. He just put a label to it. And then Brandon Turner did the Burr strategy, and he popularized the house hack strategy. And so for me, I'm like, passionate income is my thing. And nobody talks about it, because everybody acts like financial freedom is the end of the road, end of the journey. But the reality is that financial freedom is the beginning. Like, your life begins at financial freedom. It's you're going up to the starting line, and they've got the gun and they say, okay, go. Now it's time for you to go. And it's so much fun. We just had a guy in our community leave his job, and he did a couple of new developments, new builds. He, I think, pocketed like $300,000 from them at the sell. And he's like, all right, I'm out of my job. Now I get to focus full time on land flipping and development. And so I told him, I called him, I said, hey, please celebrate, because you're going to have the rest of your life as an entrepreneur now to struggle with celebration if you do this right. So please celebrate right now. Don't be thinking about what's next. Just enjoy the fact that you got out of the freaking thing. So passionate income is when you replace your corporate job with passive income as the tool to be able to now do what you want, when you want, with who you want, and most importantly, work on what you want, when you want, with who you want. And so that looks like the intersection of what the world wants, what the market needs, what you love, and what you're great at, which the Japanese call your ikigai. And so what Dave's talking about is, when you're free, now it's like, okay, cool. Well, what am I really great at? What does the market want? Like, what could I do for the rest of my life? And for me, right now, like that ironically turned into podcasting, and now we're building up this hospitality empire. We could talk about how we're modeling all the different vertical integrations of Action Academy and how we're going to build this podcast up to $50 million of top line revenue a year over the next 10 years. I think we could maybe do it in five. We'll see. At least I'll have the general structure set down. But that's the game plan that we're doing, and we're going to have a freaking blast doing it.
And that's exactly right. It's funny because when you first came on the show, we talked. If you haven't listened to that show, go. He digs way deeper into – well, we'll probably dig deeper into it too, but into the journey from W-2 through Passionate Income. That was like the entire episode was just about that journey and that conversation. And it clicked for me. When you were talking about it, I was like, dude, right, nailed on the head, because I was in that space of like, okay, I make money. I don't have to work. Like, cutting things out of my life that were making great money but not fulfilling to try to find that zone of where I'm at now, which is, you know, I'm actually kind of similar to you, like running the community, helping people, giving back. And that is the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. And, you know, you get paid well for it, but when people ask like what they should start a business in or whatever, the answer you often hear online is like the logical, like, oh, this franchise or this and this, you can put this much money into this thing and it gets X return. And it's like, that's great. Money's great. But at some point you are going to hit a wall where you're going to be like, none of this is fulfilling. I don't care about the money. And at that point, you know, it's like exactly what Brian's talking about here. Like the dude literally, he lives his schedule. He lives his life. He does whatever he wants. Brian is, and I don't know if I've ever told you this to your face, but probably one of the best that I know at like, nope, I made up my mind. I'm going with it. And whatever you want to do in life, you're living it. And it's super cool to watch and be a part of. So
appreciate it. Appreciate it a bunch, buddy. That means a lot. But if you want, we can go into step-by-step how somebody can decide, because we've got it lined out. I know exactly step-by-step how someone can decide what business to run, how to get it off the ground, how they should market it, and then get it rocking.
Let's do it, man.
There's so many different ways to do this the wrong way. but there's only one way that I found to do it the right way. And it's the way that I've seen multiple times. And I took it a little bit from the startup world to a degree. But long story short, especially this relates especially to passionate income. So you're like, I want to build a thing to where I can do this for the rest of my life. This is really enjoyable for me. This is different than passive income. Passive income, you need to nut up and shut up. It's plain and simple. Like, and that's just not what people tell you. They say when they're in elementary school and middle school, they say, follow your dreams. If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. All right, motherfucker, that's earned. You know what I mean? Like, that is earned. Passive income is the tool that we use to unlock passionate income. So here's a perfect example. How many mountain bike shops are in Denver, Colorado? Like, hundreds. One per block. None of them are financially successful. So the quickest way to ruin a passion for you is to build a business that you're losing money at that you need to use to eat. Like, that is the quickest way to ruin mountain biking for you. I promise you, every single Brad, Chad, and Thad that started up a mountain bike shop in Colorado, like, they loved mountain biking. They're like, dude, this is my freaking life's passion. Or anybody that opens up a freaking coffee shop that has a passion for coffee or whatever, insert craft brewery or whatever here. And then they just fall out of love with it because they're like, dude, like, not only am I not enjoying this anymore, but now it's a freaking job and I'm not even making money doing it, right? That's why you use the passive income to do this. So when I'm talking about this framework that I'm about to share, it's not the same framework that you use to buy the laundromats, to buy the car washes, to buy the brick and mortar hearth installation companies or HVAC companies or multifamily real estate or self-storage. You will never love self-storage. You can love the game of self-storage, but it's sliding doors that people put shit inside.
Like, that you got to clean it out.
Correct. So just acknowledge the games for what they are. Passive income is the tool that we use to allow for passionate income. And I promise you that the less that you rely on the money from the passionate income, the more money you'll make from it. Guaranteed. Take that to the bank. So now, you know, and we could talk about passive income strategies on this podcast as well, but we talk about this a lot on the Military Millionaire podcast. It's the entire podcast. We share passive income strategies. And so do I on Action Academy. So what we're going to talk about here is, okay, now you've got some passive income. You've got some rentals coming in. You're getting pretty close to financial freedom, maybe a couple thousand bucks away per month. And now you're like, okay, I can start up my own little thing and then get this thing rocking. So what I do and what I did is I highly recommend that you start with content. And you organically post about what you enjoy and what you're having fun doing. You're just like, I love this. I love that. Like, this is what I'm doing. Super fun, blah, blah, blah. And then, or you post about the problems that you're solving that are very interesting to you. So I did a combination of two. So I quit my corporate job. I left a $250,000 a year corporate job, and I'm traveling around the world. I'm posting about it. I'm just like, oh, we're in Greece. Oh, we're in Barcelona. Oh, we're doing this. And this is how we did it. And this is the struggles I'm running into. And then my car, my Turo car just got impounded. My house hack, I just had to evict somebody from while I moved out, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, how the hell are you doing this? How are you pulling this off? And eventually after you, and this is not with a massive following I have today. This was with like 4,000 Instagram followers. I just started being consistent with it and intentional with it. And I grew my brand. So in the beginning, like all of a sudden I started getting like 20 to 50 DMs a week where they're like, dude, how are you doing this? Like, how are you leaving your job and doing all this stuff? I'm like, oh, well, you know, I did this, this, and this. And they'd be like, that doesn't make sense. Can you explain more? And then on my podcast, what I did is I did a free offer. So that's what you begin with. You begin with a free offering. It's a lead magnet. You know, it's a PDF. It's a coaching call. Like, before you just are like, I'm going to charge what I'm worth and I'm going to be a life coach and charge $5,000 for 6 months. Bullshit, dude. Like, what you got to do is you got to do the free stuff first. So I did a 100 free.
Dude, you seem like ridiculous. There's like a 23-year-old guy on Instagram who's got
life coach.
Yeah, he's a coach on how to be a man, and it's like 10 grand for a one-on-one with him. And I'm like,
oh my,
have your balls dropped yet? Like, you might have some experience, dude, but it's probably not as much as you think it is.
Action Academy today is $7,000 a year, but we started it at like, you know, 1500 lifetime access, then 2500, then $4,000, then $6,000, then 6500, then 75. Like, so it's a progression. It's earned. So we started with free though. We did 100 free coaching calls and we asked all these people. I said, hey, you know, call in, I'll help you for free for 15 minutes. What are your issues that you're running into? And they all said the exact same thing. I took notes on every single one of these calls. And they said, we lack the clarity. We lack the confidence. We lack the capital. And we lack the community. Those were the reasons why they weren't achieving financial freedom. And so they were unclear about where they were headed and what they needed to do to get there, which asset to pick. They didn't have capital to invest in deals. They didn't understand how other people were able to raise capital and what partnerships look like and all that different stuff. They didn't have the confidence to even attempt because they'd never been around this before in their life and they're on a freaking island by themselves because their friends and family think they're stupid, and which is why they're lacking community, the fourth C. So like all these four C's, I was like, okay, I'm going to make an online course. We did make an online course. I spent a month on it. And then what ended up transpiring from that is I sent an email and made $100,000 in 48 hours because I said, hey, guys, I'm going to create a course to that 100 people that I coached for free with no offer. I said, we're going to make a course, $1,500, not done yet. Do you want it? They're like, yeah. I was like, here's my Venmo. And I got Venmo and Cash App, $100,000 in 48 hours in Brazil. And that is how we got product market fit. So you release, so in tactic, you release a free offer and then you interview your customer and say, what do you need? What do you want? Like, what can I build for you? Like, what problem are we solving here? Make sure you're solving the right freaking problem. Then when you get to that, the next point, we do what's called an MVP. And be honest about this. You will convert better if you're honest. Don't say, hey, I've got the best thing in the world for you. It's $1,500. Say, hey, I'm building like this $5,000 thing. I'm not quite sure about it yet. I want you to be the first round. I'll give it to you for $1,500. And this is a sales tactic as well, you know, but it's also honest. You're just like, this is going to have some kinks. Not quite sure what we're doing yet. You want to be the first round? I'll give you a discount. That's what we did. Converted a bunch of them. And then we did the course. People loved it. But then we quickly realized, which is the next stage after MVP, which stands for minimum viable product. What is the quickest and simplest form of your business you can get out into the world? Then we got customer feedback and we asked the customers, what do you like? What do you hate? And they're like, the course is cool, but we really like the people that we're meeting. And I go, oh, well, that's great to know. We're doing the wrong business. So we shut the course down and then became a community. So instead of a paid course with an attached community, we became a paid community with an attached course. That course became the onboarding free for the community. And then the modules, how we had it designed, and we put 300 people through the modules, and they were like, dude, this changed my life. And then I used the modules to frame the freaking book. So it's like it's all a giant flywheel of content. And now, you know, now it's a community that we've spent a year improving, 13 months improving. We hit our millionth dollar in revenue 13 months, 18 days from inception. Yeah, so we went from zero to seven figures. Went from zero to seven figures in 13 months, 18 days, and we documented the entire journey live. And I was like, hey, here are my ideas. I'm about to launch this thing. Hey, I launched this thing. Hey, here's what worked. Here's what didn't. Hey, congrats. We hit a million. And so it's like we document the entire journey. That's the last part is you want to document every single part of it. It's called building in public. I'd recommend it.
What'd you do when you hit a million? What'd you buy?
Rolex.
Show it off. Are you wearing it?
Butter
no,
roll.
Not wearing it.
Oh, I'm not wearing it right now. No, it's in my case downstairs. Yeah, I bought a two-tone Submariner. It's a bluey. So I love that thing. I bought it. And it felt really cool. I've been able to afford that thing I got for $14,000. I've been able to afford it for a couple of years now, but I wanted to attach. I'm not like a material guy. So the running joke is I leave my apartment open, unlocked, because I'm like, what are you going to steal? You know, now it's like that's the only thing really besides my laptop, my MacBook, and my Tacovas. Those are like $400. But besides that, it's like I don't really own things. And so I'm like, dude, like I don't care. But that one I had to attach a sentimental value to. Oh, and my golf clubs. I bought a new custom set of golf clubs for my 100,000 mark.
There you
so
go.
Those were like 2,200. And then now this one was 14 grand for the million. And
so I think yeah, it's,
I love it.
It's something that a lot of people, it's so important to attach something as a carrot and actually give yourself the carrot. Correct. So many people just push the carrot down the
you
road.
You have to.
And so like for me, I've been a car guy my entire life. I had a bunch of stupid toys when I was younger. I sold all of them when I got into real estate. I bought my second duplex off the sale of my S2000. I bought my first duplex off the sale of my Harley, you know, like whatever. And so every time I sell a house, I've been like, damn, I don't need to buy a car. And every time I'm like, nope, rolling it. And Matt Aitchison, we were on a call 2 months ago and he's like, nah, bro. You got to buy the fucking Porsche, but you just got to set some ground rules. So this year when I have, I pay off, I've got 55K in non-mortgage debt left and that's all going to get paid off. And then when I have 100K revenue month, new revenue, not recurring, just 100K month, I earn the Porsche. And so there's the goal. I'm like, all right, 100K month, no more bad debt. Porsche is earned. And then like, he was very honest. He's like, and you actually have to fucking buy the thing. I'm like, ah, you know, like I've been putting this thing off for 4 years now because it's something I really love and it'll make me happy. I love driving, but it's such a waste of money compared to, you know, investments, but it'll improve my quality of life because I've always loved cars and it'll also allow me to get into a network with some of the bigger players in town.
Yeah, dude. I mean, when it comes to like, what are we optimizing for? You know, and look, we got mutual friends that are just like, I'm going to grind. They're already financially free and they're still grinding. You know, I'm going to get, you know, 10 million, 20 million. And like for me, you know, I've gotten a lot of perspective because I interview millionaires every single day on my podcast. That's where all my wisdom comes from. It's just from shutting up and asking smart people questions.
You got some smart guests, too.
Yeah. I mean, Dave Prey was on there, so there's some exceptions. But anyways,
low bar.
Yeah, so it's just like, dude, the game's going to – you're going to play the game the rest of your life. You're genuinely going to play the game the rest of your life. The game that I'm playing today is the game that I'm going to play in my 70s. Like, I'm not going to be 70 just, like, playing, like, checkers. Like, I'm going to be like, all right, what's next? Like, what else can we do? Like, what challenge can we overcome? And because that's just how we're cut. So I'm like, dude, let's just have fun. The only thing that you're never going to be able to buy back is your youth. So in your 20s, in your 30s, and even in your 40s. You know, like enjoy them. So like I spend more money than I should on travel. And you know what I've been doing recently? I do a lot of DoorDash, and I hired a private chef, and she came in, but I couldn't justify that. I didn't enjoy that as much. But honestly, like, DoorDash is so freaking stupid from a financial perspective. But damn it, do I love having my breakfast delivered to me? Where's my egg white scramble with the freaking sauteed mushrooms and the artichoke and the sambal sauce? And I've got this honey oak latte that I get every single day. I freaking love it. It's $27.56. I feel like an idiot every single day. I spend it every morning. But I wake up and I literally have it set to when I wake up and I go shower, I order it. And I know by the time I finish showering and doing my routine, it's going to be sitting on my doorstep when I open up my awesome. Door. And I freaking love it. And that's the small thing that's just so hard for me to overcome. Dude, I will go spend $20,000 on a coaching program and I won't think anything of it. I'll be like, of course. And I did a YouTube ads course. I didn't even do it.
I was gonna ask if that worked. That's funny.
I didn't make an ad. So that's actually a value add for the audience. Let's get back to the audience here instead of just me talking about my fucking breakfast. So
I mean, it's a valuable point though, because at some point
I think you
start caring more about the time and the experience than you do the dollar.
The point is, bucket your life into the things that bring you the most joy and spend relentlessly on those things and cut ruthlessly from everything else. For me, absolutely. Travel, hotel, Airbnb, and food are the jam. And I'm going to a Bad Bunny concert. I've spent way too much money. Experience, dude, that's my jam. But food is up there in my top five, and I spend thousands of dollars on food a month, and I freaking love it. So anyways, that goes to the point where I spent $20,000 on an online course. I didn't do crap with it. Was the information incorrect? No. Was it everything I needed step by step? Yes. Was it, you know, did they have the – was it my fault? Yes. But at the end of the day, I believe that we're doing a significant pivot in education moving forward. And right now is the last time in the world the worst time, I believe, to start an online course. I think online courses are going to phase out over the next 3 to 10 years, and people are going to laugh about the idea of online courses existing. I think that communities are going to be the biggest macro wave, and that's why I'm going putting all my chips in the basket of community, and my goal is to be one of the best community runners that exists, and I learned everything that I can about it. It's what I obsess over, and I sold all my real estate to focus on it, because for all of human existence, you've only learned things one way. If you wanted to be a knight, you're going to be a squire underneath a knight. If you wanted to be a blacksmith, you learn underneath a blacksmith. You get in person, you swing the freaking hammer with them. You're not going to watch an online training module on swinging a freaking blacksmith hammer. So I'm like, why did we did this whole scale thing, and now people are desperate and starving post-COVID to go back to having their hand held and being with the one-on-one human interaction. But, oh, it's not scalable. Oh, my God, who cares? Like, it works. Because I'm taking Spanish lessons now. If I just take a Spanish course, I'm not going to do it. And I'm the most disciplined person that I know. I'm just not going to do it. But I use this service called Baselang. I pay $179 a month, and I have unlimited one-on-one Spanish tutoring. And I go on, and I do the flashcards with them. And that person's on there with me for an hour whenever I select it. And they're in Colombia. They're in Peru. They're native speakers. And we're going through the flashcards, and we're learning together. That is what everything is moving towards. And that's why I think, like, that is the move for the next decade. So don't make an online course. Make a community. And that goes to brand, too. Brand and attention is the most valuable commodity that there exists right now. It used to be oil. Now it's attention.
Absolutely. Agreed. I mean, that's why all these big guys are throwing so much money into their content. That's why you're doubling down on it. That's why I'm doubling down on it. Yeah, it's huge. Now, I do want to... You know, you went through the framework. I just want to at least mention briefly, because you do something very similar to what I do, and you're probably a little better at it or a little more vocal about it. But just for anyone who missed it while he was talking through that, I think the thing that Brian did and still does very, very, very well while he was building out his community is just asking the people that he wants to serve for feedback.
What do you need? What do you hate?
It is so simple. And so many people go, and you know who put it really well is Tim Ferriss. When he wrote The 4-Hour Workweek, it wasn't named that, and it wasn't that cover. And he put it out to his audience, and they were like, this sucks. And so he put a whole bunch of other options out, and they were like, this sucks. And then someone commented whatever title, and he put that out, and everybody loved it. And so like the 4-hour work week wasn't called the 4-hour work week, and the title didn't look anything, or the cover didn't look anything like that. His audience picked all of it, and he's a New York Times bestselling author, you know, 10 times over. When I heard him talk about that, I was like, dude, I've been like kind of polling my audience, but now it's like almost everything I do, if I'm making a change to something, I'm like, which one of these, what do you guys think? And it's, man, it makes things so much easier. It's crazy.
Yeah. You don't have to guess anymore. You just take their feedback, and they'll tell you what they hate. So we just did our first NPS, and so I'm learning all about that. So our actual NPS score was, I think, like a 57, which is great. And for people that are business owners, you understand like how that's calculated. So it's a little bit more severe. So 57 is actually really, really great. But from an easier metric that people will understand on the podcast, it's just like 1 out of 10. What's your experience with Action Academy? And they did 8.67. And we had 70% vote, and we had some fours and fives in there, which is how I know people were actually being honest. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see what their feedback was, right? And so I was like, dude, hell yeah. Like, and then where can we improve? And then they just told me, they're like, all right, you know, we like this, we don't love this. And then the most important question that I asked was, okay, you're paying $7,000 a year. Like, at what point did you feel in your annual membership that you got your money back or exceeded the value? And that is so important, because that gives you every single piece of information you need about your onboarding process. Because our goal is, we want 70% plus to be thinking that they got all the value that they needed for that investment within the first 30 days. And like gold standard if we can get it to them in the first week. So we were able to use that. So it was 68% said they got it within the first 60 days. And it was 86% said they got that value in the first 6 months. And then there was 14% polled, because I know my freaking numbers, that said that they did not yet feel that they got the value. And that's important, because it's a mixture. Yes, some of them are new members. Some of them are disillusioned, and they don't like the thing. Cool. That's called honest feedback. And give me a freaking person online that says, oh, all of our customers love everything that we do, I'll show you a freaking liar. Mm. You know, because it's the nature of the beast. I'm like, if I don't have a 10% rate that says that they don't like this, then that means that the survey is not honest. And so that was such good feedback. Like, that's like $1 million feedback, because now we're revamping what was already a good onboarding program, and now we're making it a world-class onboarding program. I'm like, let's add a call here. Let's add a call here. Let's add a touch point here. Let's simplify this process. The process that we were seeing that people were struggling with the most was creating a vision for their life. Why aren't, it's week one of Action Academy is, okay, now we're going to do what's called a vivid vision. So your vivid vision is, in 3 years, what's your life, what's your business look like? And you guys can shamelessly steal this. So for some reason, people were just not doing it. And we're like, why are you not doing it? It's the most important thing. It's because you think it's stupid. It's because you think that this is like not what you need to do, and you need to learn the assets first. Because the truth is, you need the vision to tell you what assets to invest in. The reason you have shiny object syndrome is because you're unclear of what you're optimizing for, aka equity versus cash flow versus location independence versus boots on the ground. You don't know what you don't know. So the clearer you are on your end destination, the clearer you are about what assets to use to get there. So if I know that I want to go from New York to LA in less than 6 hours, I'm not going to drive. Duh. Same thing. So people are like, I just want to get to LA. I'm like, okay, well, you can walk, you can take a bike, you can drive, you can fly, you can take a helicopter. Like, which way do you want to do it? So what we're doing is, I'm like, okay, well, why aren't you guys doing the vivid vision? And they're like, it's really, really difficult for us to do that when we've never done it before. We've never even asked the question before. We haven't built that muscle. I'm like, got it. So we're overcomplicating it. Okay. So what I feel is simple is actually not. Got it. I've done it 30 times. I'm really good at it. Let's chunk it down. So now it's a templated system to where now the new vivid vision process that we're implementing is prompts. So instead of just saying, write out what your dream life looks like, where you're step by step, what does a perfect day look like for you? You know, when you wake up, what's a perfect morning? What's a perfect afternoon? What does your family look like? Like, who are you with in 3 years from now? Where are you living? What type of house do you have? Do you have multiple houses? like, walk me through your health. Like, what are you eating? What are you doing for exercise? Like, what is the mental, physical, spiritual? And then we're prompting it so that people can just answer questions. And then we can use that and work with almost like copywriters that we're bringing into Action Academy. Say, okay, now let's polish this up together. And now you submit your vision for a review, and then we'll polish it together to make it pop off the page for you. And now, like, that's a small thing, but like, that's improvement. Incremental. It's 1% incremental improvements. And then all of a sudden you're miles and light years ahead of everybody else. Like, it's not just one giant, you know, Alex Ramosi says it's not a silver bullet. It's 1,000 golden BBs. Like, that is what we do.
No, that's a great process, and it's working, and I love it. Yeah, I do the same thing within the war room. Ask questions, you know, feedback.
Y'all
whatever.
Crush in war room.
It's a good group, man. It's hard to. The one thing nobody can replicate is the connection that service members have right off the bat. Like, that's correct. Just a.
And don't get me wrong. Expensive. Like, you've anybody.
It is now.
Anybody. Everybody that needs to join War Room because he doesn't make it what he doesn't charge what it's worth. So you guys need to take advantage of that and join.
So we're currently at $5,000 for year one and $200 a month after that. So it's not quite what yours is, but it's 5x what it was last time we talked. So we're making the moves. Now my biggest problem is filling my lead funnel for my sales team. I'd never had that issue before, and I'm like, oh, I have an actual closer, and he's incredible. And he's basically sitting here like, Dave, feed me, give me people to talk to. And I'm like, I should probably work on this problem. So, it's good times, but, yeah, man, I'm trying to think where I was going to run. I mean, I'll tell you this, dude. And that's actually a great point on chunking it down. The vision was the hardest thing for me for the longest time. Because it was like, I kind of like accidentally built a brand and accident, like I was not intentional like you were, which is exactly why in 2 years, you're further along than I got in the first 4.5, 5. Cause I was just kind of like, oh yeah, this is cool. What's happening? Oh wow. This is a thing. Oh, I should do something with it. Oh, people want to, you know, just kind of rolling around with whatever. Things. Yeah. And it wasn't until I sat down and really gained some clarity and was like, no, the war room's my number one thing and I need to focus on it, that it started to blow up. And yeah, I was doing a million things and I really couldn't figure out which thing I liked. And it was hard for me to do the vision because I was like, dude, in the last 5 years, so many things I never envisioned being possible have happened. How am I supposed to know what 3 years from now looks like? And the reality is like, you just got to sit down and do exactly what you said. What does my perfect day look like? So like I revamp my schedule. It's not the same as yours, but like I kind of have some similar rules. I'm like before 11 o'clock, unless it's a $5,000 problem, don't talk to me. And like my days, my calendar literally now is like Monday I do meetings, Tuesday I do content, Wednesday I do podcasts, Thursday I work on the war room, and Friday is my like catch up, you know, whatever day. That's my, you know, go to lunch with a friend or, and it is so freeing to be able to be like, all right, on Tuesday, I'm gonna do content. Well, what does that mean, Dave? Whatever I want. Like it could be blog posts. It could be batching an entire week's worth of videos. It could be just looking at all my content and going, what sucks? Like, what could I do better here? I'll tell you what, I'm very impressed. Have you done the, actually, I think you have been doing it, like the article, the green screen article where you talk in front of it. Those are, I'm like struggling to find better articles, but I'm like, those videos do really well right now. But anyway,
yeah, those bang
constantly evolving. Yeah, it's a whole game. So, all right. So we've got passionate income. You wrote the book, you've got the community, you mentioned boutique hotels. And I know that's like a down the road play, but does that have anything to do with your conversation with our homie Blake the other day? Or was that something you were already?
No, it was the opposite. So because of my fascination with hospitality, that's why I interviewed Blake. Cool. So like, that's why people are like, why should I do a podcast? I'm like, well, you can make $1 million from it, which I already did. And so that's kind of a cool tagline is I made $1 million before I got a million downloads. But, yeah, but most importantly, I just have access to whoever I want to talk to. So I'm like, okay, I want to learn how to build a hospitality empire in Latin America. who can I talk to that has done things like that? And so I was like, I got introduced to Blake Daly. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Let's talk to him. And then he told me how he buys boutique hotels and he partnered with you on one. And I was just like, oh, that's super, super cool. Cool. Now we're friends. Add that person to the hospitality roster. Now it's just like, multiply that by probably 100 more that I interview on the podcast just for me getting coaching. And then by the time 2025 rolls around, all of a sudden I've got a war chest. I got all these operators in my pocket. I got everyone that I can partner with that has trench level knowledge. Like, dude, like, I don't try to be the best at everything. I try to be the best at one thing and then just surround myself with people that are the best at everything. That's actually why our community works so well. If I was the guru, like, it wouldn't work because that'd be dependent on me. Like, I just tell everyone, I'm like, dude, I don't know anything. Like, I'm just hanging out. Like, y'all know more than I do right now. They all technically own more real estate than I do since I sold it all. And now I'm going to be building up this war chest. But then I'm going to do what our mutual friend Adit did. And all of a sudden, you know, you're going to blink and you're going to say, holy shit, Lupin's got $20 million of hotels. Where did that come from? You know, so when it's time, it's time. And so what our goal is, you know, we do plant trees, manage orchards. That's our wealth building framework. So we plant a tree. We make sure that the sapling is taken care of, you know, from bad economic conditions, from bad partnerships, bad operators, until it's a full grown fruit bearing tree. And then we move on to the next venture. So I've got another year with Action Academy at minimum to where I'm directly involved in leading it. And then probably around the 3 million a year mark is when we're going to be able to hire a CEO to come in for probably like $300,000-$400,000 a year. And we'll have that person running everything really, really tight. And then at that point, I'll be able to branch off, still be on that board, still be in the background of that, but now building out the ancillary empire of Action Academy through content, through doing the like acquisitions, because it all started from our events company. We started doing these events and booking out these hotels, and now my assistant's full-time, like, she's on an international hotel and mansion hunt. So, like, that's what she's doing right now is full-time. She's got a meeting right now where she's meeting with all these different, like, luxury VIP travel planners that plan, you know, trips for celebrities and freaking NFL teams. And she's looking at across Colombia, Brazil, freaking the Caribbean, trying to find houses for us for our next event. And when we were staying there, I was like, well, why don't we just buy these houses? Like, why don't we just buy the houses that we're staying in, buy the hotels we're staying in, and then build them and develop them even better into that luxury experience I'm looking for? Because if I'm looking for it, that means other people are looking for it. So that's where that all came from. And then that's going to be our tax play. That's going to be our asset play. And then all of a sudden, my balance sheet's going to take off from that. We're just trying to think about how to do it the right way and with the right people. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I love it. No, Blake's an absolute stud. And yeah, we did just, I mean, for that exact reason, like what you just said, one of the guys in my group found this hotel and brought it to Blake. And then I was watching him. And eventually I was like, yo, I want in. What do I got to do to be on this? You know, so I raised that shit, man. I don't even know how to put what I raised, because like I personally brought like one and a quarter to the deal raised, but then I also brought three other guys to the deal who combined have raised like, I think, 3.5. So I don't know what matters out of that. But then I was like, all right, I can also run your Google ads, your Google business page, like all that side of things, you know. And I just kind of worked my way into the deal, because I was like, I've watched Blake for the last 2-3 years. I know the guy really well. I trust him. I like what he's doing. And I'm same page, man. I'm like, dude, Airbnb's great, but there's so many damn regulations, and hotels don't get hammered with that because they're zoned
for Airbnbs aren't scalable. Like somebody, I've tried to think about it over, unless you're doing like an Airbnb, which is how he got started, right? You burr out a property and then you just make it a short-term rental. So like, that's the only way I find it to be scalable. Outside of that, I'm like, dude, how do you scale? If you're going to take all the time, energy, and effort to raise capital and to, you know, do construction and everything, why not just get a bigger property or a commercial property? Like, it just makes no sense to me. I don't know.
Yeah. And one's 2 miles outside the Smoky Mountains and big enough for me to host one of my annual events at. And then we're looking at one in Branson, Missouri, which is 40 minutes from me right now, that I brought up, that it basically just a gutted, you know, it's if we buy this thing at asking price, it would be $8,200 a door. So it's like, mm-hmm. at what point, you know, I mean, you put 30 grand a room in and you're good. So 40K a door, it's hard to lose at those prices. But, you know, it's got to be the right market. It's got to be the right. So we'll see what happens. But all right. I know I got to be respectful of your time here as much as you and I could just ramble on forever. Give a teaser. You're given a keynote that's going to be in Austin that I'll be hanging out at on your CVC framework. Give the 30, 60 second teaser so that people can come hang out with us in Austin.
Yeah. So CVC. So that's the framework that I've used to develop for just about anything that you're trying to accomplish. It's a goal setting framework. I call it like the translation for taking these really rich and intelligent investors and bringing it down onto the most simple building blocks to, you know, bake the cake. So clarity, volume, and consistency. So clarity, you have three different levels. You have directional, sequential, and tactical. Directional, where do you want to go? Sequential, how fast do you want to get there? Which yields the tactical. Then it goes to the volume. So when you're clear about where you're going, how fast you want to get there, and what tactics to use to get there, then are you taking the proper volume of said actions to warrant it? That's where most people get stuck, is maybe they're clear about, I want to do multifamily real estate and I need $8,000 a month of passive income, but you're not calling enough brokers, you're not making enough offers. That's it. Plain and simple. It's like maybe you need to make 100 offers and you made 22, you know? That's the difference. And you're like, why? Multifamily doesn't work.
Dude, so just to pause you for 2 seconds, the best real estate agent that I know, and I'll name him Tobin Seven. He's incredible. He's in the DC area. Dude has probably closed 18 of like 22 people I've ever introduced him to. He's amazing. So I asked him once, I was like, hey, you want to come talk to my group about what it takes to actually be a good agent? We've got some people that are good agents. And he goes, he's like 70 years old, funny guy. He's like, yeah, but it'd be a really boring conversation because I would literally just say, I call them the moment you send the introduction, I call them and I talk to them. He's like, that's all you got to do. He's like, the problem is all these agents want you to want to sell you a house, but they don't make the phone calls. He's like, that would be my entire presentation. Just call them until you get them on the phone. I was like, yeah, you're right. Volume. That's it. So anyway.
And that's the final C is consistency. He's been doing it probably for 40, 50 years. So that's the last thing is when you've got your volume proper and you've got your clarity proper, then now it's just a matter of consistency. So for example, like my podcast, I do a podcast episode every day. You know, I'm guesting on 3 shows a week. Like I'm doing all the volume I want and I'm very clear that I want 1 million downloads, but I thought I was going to get that in a year and I didn't, you know, and now I'm 2 years deep and I still haven't gotten 1 million downloads. So now I'm just like, okay, just got to be consistent. So sometimes it just is consistency, you know, you're not going to be worth $10 million overnight. Be consistent. So that's the CVC. If you guys want to hear me talk about it on a stage and look pretty, come to the Austin Summit, Austin Entrepreneurial Summit by GoAbundance.
I will be there. I'll be there. Hanging out with you and all the bros. Be a good time.
That's a rock and roll.
I just pitched Matt King on speaking there. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm excited, man. That's going to be your first, correct me if I'm wrong, first big stage, right? You're not a big speaker guy.
Yeah, first big stage, man. Yeah, I've done some smaller ones. I'm going to Tulum this next week to keynote for a buddy, Mike Chu. So we're going to have like maybe 50, 60 people in that one. So yeah, getting warmed up.
Good. I like it. Love it. Brian, where can people find you?
You can find me at the Action Academy podcast. That's where I recommend, because if you guys are listening to this, you enjoy podcasts. I do an episode every single day. We interview multimillionaires, help you go from 6-figure employee to 7-figure badass entrepreneur. And we go through business acquisition, commercial real estate, all the different stuff through multimillionaire investors. Then you can also get my book, From Passive to Passionate, How to Quit Your Job, Grow Your Wealth, Turn Your Passions into Profits. All the mindsets, all the methods, all of the mentorship tactics, seller finance, buying businesses, starting your own business, profit first cash flow strategies. Every single bit of tactic and strategy you need is in that book. You can get that on Amazon. And lastly, we run a community. If you want your ass kicked, that's what we do. But go check out the content first, and then you'll decide pretty quickly if that's a fit for you or not. For 90% of the people, it's not. But for the 10%, it's the best thing.
You're ruthless about who you accept, which is why the culture is so strong. And he didn't even say it on here, but he just passed 5,000 sales on the book, which is solid.
5,000, man. 5,000.
Solid, man.
So now we're hawking this thing, man. Getting it into some hands. But yeah, dude, thanks for having me on, man. It's been awesome.
Absolutely, brother. Always a pleasure.